Welcome to the Parented Podcast. I'm your host, Michelle Gams. Join me as we explore the hardest job that you will ever love, parenting your child. Hi, y'all. It's Michelle, and we have some podcast listener questions today, Q&A, on teenagers. That has been a hot topic, one of the most listened to podcasts, and so we are fielding some of the questions about teenagers for that. And so if you have other topics you want us to cover, we want this to suit y'all out there and your needs. So let us know. And on Instagram, you can just message us there and questions. So here we have one, Christine from Ohio. My teenager is continually skipping her curfew, and I've tried everything, grounding, taking away her phone, etc. What should I do? Okay. So first of all, let's remind everyone out there that teenagers are all impaired, okay? And our job with these impaired beings is view them as such. That will help you soften toward them. And know that our role is to be a dispassionate cop. Now, that sounds really simple. It's not. Dispassionate meaning don't lose it. And cop meaning have consequences for their actions. All of that speaks very well to teenagers. They don't want our emotions. They don't want us losing it. They don't want us hysterical. So our role with teenagers is to be a dispassionate cop. Dispassionate meaning calm, without all of our drama and hysteria and anger and frustration delivered to them. And cop being the enforcer of consequences, that there are rules and there are consequences, and those speak very well to teenagers. There's a book called Yes, Your Teen is Crazy, and that's the main theme that I took from that book was I needed to be a dispassionate cop raising these kids, and that was not easy to do. So, Christine in Ohio, the son, or the teenager, shouldn't say, her curfew, tried everything, grounding, taking away her phone, what should I do? So dispassionate cop would be that you want to make the consequence fit the offense, okay? That's why taking away the phone is not effective unless it's about the phone or about time or about that taking attention from something. It has to be related. So curfew needs to be about curfew. So for instance, one of the things that we did at the house with our kids was if you came home 15, 20 minutes after curfew, then the next night you were coming home 15, 20 minutes before curfew. And if that wasn't effective, then the next night you weren't even going out, kind of thing. So there needs to be, there are consequences that speak for that. And they're related to the actual offense. And children, teenagers and children respect those kinds of consequences because they're tied. And then it makes them amend their behaviors or curb their behaviors because they're accountable for that behavior and they're accountable for that repair of it. In regards to the fear that parents feel, that I felt, when your children don't come home exactly on curfew, be honest with them. I explain to my kids, especially my son, that any minute or two after curfew, some things can start happening in my brain that are kind of dark, that we parents begin to worry. We begin to fabricate stories in our heads that are most likely untrue, but we get fearful. And when I explained that to Charlie, that I needed notice if he was going to be any minutes after his curfew, I needed notice for that so that those dark places didn't begin to happen in my mind, that he was going to cause me stress by doing that. And he, that really spoke to him, that reached him, because he understood that he's causing me stress by doing that. And he would just text me, Mom, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Mom, I'm taking somebody home. I'm going to be 10 minutes late, whatever that is. And then he knew he didn't want me to worry, or and that I could be relaxed, that he's fine and he'll be here. So having a relationship with your kids out of respect that you offer them and they offer you, and that the consequences suit the offense, that they're related in some way, speaks to them in regards to being the dispassionate cop. So they don't need the lectures. They don't need us getting hysterical. They don't need us coming unglued. That only turns into get a grip, mom or dad, get a grip. What's wrong with you? Like, everything's fine over here. So dispassionate cop, I just want you to know, is easier said than done. Yeah. Okay, next question, teenager. Stacy from Texas. I've caught my teenager in a couple of lies recently, and I'm afraid it's becoming a pattern. How do I handle this in a way that strengthens our relationship instead of putting us further apart? Okay, so let's talk about lying. And this applies to any age, not just teenagers. So kids lie because they just are trying to get what they want. They're trying to get their needs met, and they're trying to get what they want, and somehow they feel like they can't be honest with us about some of the things. And so let's start with explaining the whole piece about integrity and your credibility. So that's the first message I want to deliver to kids that are experimenting with lying, and most children will experiment with it at some point in their childhood careers. They will experiment with lying. So explain to them that what happens on the other end of lying is you lose credibility. So I don't know when to believe you or not. And for young kids, I would say, are you telling me a story or are you telling me what actually happened? So because lie is kind of a strong term, you're a liar. I don't want a kid getting characterized like that. I just kind of know that they're experimenting with that concept of what happens if I make up a story kind of thing. So give them space for that and say, okay, so is this a story or is this what actually happened? Well, okay, give them a chance to come clean. Then another way to sort of enforce it too is to say, okay, so what you're telling me is that this happened, X, Y, and Z happened. So if I talk to your brother right now, would he give me the same story? Or if I called Mrs. Jones, and would she say that that's exactly what happened at the house? And is there anything else you want to tell me before I go do that? So you're going to confirm their story, and then you're giving them an opportunity to come clean and save their own integrity. So you want to do that as much as possible and explain that they lose credibility. And then I don't know as your parent when to believe you if you are doing this, if you're lying. I don't know when to believe you. So then I am confused over here about your words. And then I have to decide for myself when I believe that you're telling me the truth or when you're making up a story. Okay, so that's the first line. Now the consequences come in. And this is the second piece that many parents are quite humored by, and they feel really good about executing this. So say that lying has gone on and you've given this message about, you know, being honest and integrity and the credibility issue, and that you're confused then because you have to decide. So then you're going through a drive-through, okay? You're going through a drive-through and you ask your child or teen, what do you want? And they say, well, you know, I want chicken nuggets or I want the double cheeseburger or whatever it is they want. And you go, okay, well, you're going to get Chili Mac at Steak and Shake, or you're going to get whatever else, it's something you're going to order for them, and it's going to be not what they asked for. And they're going to throw a fit and go, what are you doing? I didn't say that. Oh, no, this is, I don't know if you're telling me a story right now or if you're telling me truth, so I get confused. So I'm just guessing that really, in fact, that's not true, that you want that, so you're going to get chicken nuggets instead of the burger. That's when children really feel the impact of lying. When they feel the consequence of their actions, that they are no longer believable, and it becomes real to them in that moment. And there's a gravity to that moment of, holy cow, like, my mom isn't listening to me. No, she's not, because she has to decide for herself when truth is told and when it's not true. And that's the consequence of lying. So get clean with yourself and get clean with your parents, and parents have consequences and have the integrity speech, and lying will diminish. Jill from New Mexico. My daughter is posting things and photos online that I'm worried will affect her opportunities in the future. How do I explain to her the impact that might have? Any suggestions? I'm out of ideas. That is so true. We do get out of ideas. And it's good to reach out for help when we're out of ideas, because there are other people out there who do these things and in all areas of life. And it helps that we just get advice and then we feel hope. We feel hope and that we can do it differently. So in regards to that whole online posting stuff, children, well, first of all, teenagers are, they believe they're immortal. Okay. So nothing bad's going to happen to them. You know, they're not going to die and they're going to live forever. And they can just do all these risky behaviors. Well, so keeping that whole perspective of a dispassionate cop, keep your cool as you're explaining these things calmly, even though you're not so calm on the inside, keep it calm. Your delivery will be better received if you can do that. Otherwise, you're not going to get much in on the receiving end. They're just going to look at you like you're a Looney Tune. So explain that, and you can find articles even or online, that jobs, people hiring in jobs in corporations just around now look at Facebook. They search Google. They will search names and look you up before you're hired. And so this stuff follows you. And so it doesn't help to just give your opinion. It really helps to get data and give children information. So when these kids are experimenting with things, whether it's that or alcohol or drugs, give them information instead of your lectures. Information about the impact those things can have on them, the impact on their brains, the impact on their decision making, the impact on their futures, the impact on their bodies, all of it, because they don't understand the consequences long term. They are living in the moment. They're living for now, and they need help understanding long term stuff because their brains don't do that naturally. So it helps to share information, and you can even have them, you know, write a report for you or look it up, research, or do some things on this so that then they become informed and educated and can make an informed and educated decision about what they want to post online or what they want to do, you know, in terms of experimentation. At least they're informed when they do so. And that is a different knowing, a different place when they make those choices, when they have the information that isn't just from us parents doing the lecture and know-it-all kind of thing. Because they don't want to hear it from us. They need multiple sources to hear it from besides you. They are tired of us being their authority figures, and they need other authority figures to give them the same message. And that's just human nature. We need to hear things three times before we start paying attention. You know how that is. You start to hear it from one person, then you hear it from somebody else, and you go, oh, okay, now I'm going to start paying attention to this because I'm hearing it from multiple sources. And our children, and especially teenagers, are so much that way because we get demoted and we are not their greatest authority. Their peers are. And so you're coming from behind trying to influence them. We're coming from a compromised place. So have them get information, have them do research, and then have a calm talk about these topics, about the impact their posting is having and going to have on their future. And that I understand from IT people that really to get something off your computer, it has to be deleted in like 8 different ways or 8 different locations because it doesn't get removed. So all of these things can be found. And if you give them that information and they learn it, they're informed and they make different decisions because of knowing. And it's not just about our opinions or our concerns or our worries or any of that. You can certainly share those offline on the site as well. But data, dispassionate cop, is more effective. Thanks for the questions, y'all. And let us provide more answers for you if you just ask them at getparented.com or on our Instagram, getparented. Thanks so much. See you next time. I never said it would be easy. I only said it would be worth it. Peace to you, mom or dad. It starts there. You've got this.